Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning there, fun seekers. How are you? Good. Really? How's Aunt Marge? Good. Good and the kids. Uncle Herman? Good. Well, he is a rascal, but just love him. Well, I'm glad everybody's fine. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. My name is Patrick Timpone. I just took on this name because Kim Kardashian was taken, so have to do this one. We have a good week for you this week. Our heart is not a pump fellow, Dr. Thomas Cowan, who we all love. He has a new book out about vaccines. And it's not your typical book about why vaccines are yucky for you, because we know that. There's a lot of studies and peer-reviewed studies and books and very detailed books about the dangers of vaccines, and they're linked to all kinds of things. But he's going to talk about why the human body really needs to get measles and mumps and stuff like that. It's all part of the deal, and then when you screw that up, then it makes it worse. And also how this autoimmune disease thing started, and it's how it's linked to vaccines and that kind of stuff. So we're going to take a different take, but started reading his book last night. Pretty cool. Childhood Vaccines, Dr. Thomas Cowan. Dr. Greenblatt is going to be here tomorrow. He's an integrative psychiatrist. Oh, good. We could use a psychiatrist around here. And we're going to talk about mood disorders in the brain and supplements and stuff like that. And so maybe help us to get, well, we like being crazy, so what does it matter, you know? And then Dr. Ilya Skofanov, also a chiropractic kinesiologist tomorrow. He knows a lot about girls' hormones. And also he's a thyroid specialist that'll be here tomorrow. And then Andrew Goss on Wednesday, The Real World of Money, because we learn a lot about money here every week we have for these 11 years. On One Radio Network, because, see, we help you to live a long time, and the challenge is if you outlive your money, well then, hello, it's not good. No, so you don't want to outlive your money, and the rate we're going around here, we'll do like 144, so better pony up and make some bucks, kid. So never mind that. So this is Monday morning, August 13th, 2018. Hope you had a good weekend. I was in Houston. It's my spiritual path. Had a little get together, and we had a great time. And it was really interesting. I got back from there and picked up Doodle, and we found a wonderful person in the neighborhood to take care of Doodle on Rover.com, and just sweetest people ever. They said, "Oh, she can come back anytime she wants. We just love her. She's part of the family." And I got back, and I was just feeling. I was feeling really grateful, just being grateful to have a house. And it was just, and I guess it was part of this show that we're going to do today, because it was really funny. Well, you know, coming back from your spiritual path for 2 or 3 days, and we talk a lot about gratitude in Ekinkar. So I'm going to have fun talking to Mae McCarthy, and I know you will, because this is important stuff. Her latest book is called The Gratitude Formula, a 7-step success system to create a life that you love. She's written a lot of books, and she's a business tycoon too. Yeah, man, I tell you what, she has helped start and grow 6 successful companies as large as $100 million in annual revenues. She serves on business, philanthropic arts, and university boards, and implementing spiritual principles into her ventures. And it's her passion to pass her knowledge on to others. And this is her latest book. It is maymccarthy.com. And as fate would have it, she just lives not very far from here, too, in Spring Branch, Texas. So you're the first person, Mae McCarthy, that I know that lives in Spring Branch, Texas, which is pretty exciting.
Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's
and I'm so happy to know a new neighbor.
Yeah, that's right. Spring Branch, just down the road. I can come. You can come borrow some sugar or come see Doodle or something.
Yeah.
Did you all get any rain down? Did you all get any rain down there?
You know, we did. It absolutely poured, and we would like some more.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to the rain angels, so we got a deal going. So it's on the way. So just batten the hatches.
Well, put in a good word for Spring Branch.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll put you guys on the list. Well, my goodness. So you go into companies and you talk to them about all these spiritual principles. I mean, you have to find very special companies that even understand the idea of spiritual principles?
Well, not really, because if you look at some of the most successful people, let's just use a few names that you might recognize. Bill Gates.
Never heard of him.
What day of the week you measure his net worth, he's either the richest or second richest man in the world, and, you know, kind of fluctuates between he and Jeff Bezos, his neighbor, goes back and forth. But he said often you have to rely on intuition. And Steve Jobs from Apple, he agreed. But he said that you actually had to have courage to follow your heart and intuition, because intuition is not something that you can see, thus it could be spiritual, meaning it's invisible. And Oprah Winfrey said that she's listened to the still small voice of intuition her whole life. And the only times that she's made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And I have to agree with that, and so do people like Albert Einstein, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Steven Spielberg, Thomas Edison, and hundreds of others. But in our society, we tend to value data more than what Albert Einstein called this intuitive mind we all have access to. So we look at people like Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey and think, oh, they're exceptions. When in fact, what they are is examples of something that all of us have access to and all of us can use as a success tool. And gratitude essentially magnetizes you towards your goals so that you can notice intuitive directions much easier.
So magnetized to the goals. I kind of get where when you're really grateful, then you can also just kind of settle in and relax into life and trust Spirit is going to bring you the best as long as you do the work.
Well, I actually create a system around it. I've, as you've mentioned in the introduction, I've had the pleasure and privilege of growing a number of successful companies, many of which were multi-million dollar technology companies. And one of the things that we do in business as a system is we establish and measure our success against goals. You know, we're always projecting, you know, what next quarter or next year or next month is going to look like. We plan out our future growth and then use gratitude for achieving those goals in advance and get really excited emotionally about achieving those goals before we've ever gotten there. And consequently, what happens is because we're already living in the future of the achieved goals, with gratitude, we start to notice more opportunities, more possibilities to make those goal statements true. And the same thing happens in religion, the same thing happens in professional sports or in professional music. People not only practice physically on a repetitive basis, but they also practice mentally. They see themselves in the future performing at their highest level on stage or in the competition, winning the competition. They spend time in that future state of the goal already being achieved with gratitude. And when you do that, your subconscious goes on high alert and wants to make sure that what it's pointing out to you, you know, amidst the billions of pieces of data that are available, it starts to illuminate things that are in alignment with whatever you're putting your words, thoughts, and emotions on. So this actually becomes a system for success, and it's not a secret or something reserved for only a few. It's something that all of us can use.
Yeah, good job. So we're actually, in this imaginative idea, we're acting as if we are already there, acting as if in the now.
In advance.
What's that?
And being grateful for it in advance.
In advance, yeah.
Achieved.
Like it's already here, which it is, because there's not really time, so it's got to be here now.
Well, so many people that I hear, I travel all over the world and teach workshops and speak at different kinds of events, and some people tell me their goals are, you may have heard this before, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. When you think about that goal statement, I want to get out of debt, or I want to lose 10 pounds, the goal is to be wanting. Well, they've already achieved that. They're already in a state of wanting. So what they have to do is shift their words. And I talk a lot about this in my book, The Gratitude Formula, how to create a powerful goal statement. So what you might say is, I'm so grateful that I now am.
Yeah.
Physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, and a healthy, pain-free body that's easily able to move through life. See, so words and emotions and thoughts have to be shifted in order to enable your subconscious and your intuition to show up in obvious ways to point you in the right direction.
You know, we talk a lot about this on the health aspect, and it's difficult because folks are in pain, but it's so important to be able to say to yourself and mean it that you are getting better, even though you might be in pain at this very moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of tough because, you know, right.
What we're looking for, when you're making those statements about being in a pain-free body that's easily able to move through life freely, when you repeat that over and over and over again with gratitude, things start to shift. That doesn't mean, although it's possible that you could be miraculously healed. I know lots of people who have had incredible stories about healing that is beyond the rational explanation. However, what tends to happen most often is you'll get a strong thought to go somewhere or an idea to contact someone.
Mm-hmm.
And through these intuitive messages, when you take steps to do something, to take some action, it leads you on this path to ultimately find a new resource that might be able to help you reduce the amount of pain and inflammation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or and also you can take another step, and that is, and I love the internet for this. I love the internet for research, because you can type in queries about people that have had really debilitating pain and injuries, and who have found solutions to be able to reduce the amount of pain and to have a more free life. And as you start to read more and more stories and meet more and more people who have successfully reduced the amount of pain that they're experiencing, your subconscious and your rational mind start to think, wow, if they could do it,
mm-hmm.
it's possible for me to have that same experience. Once your beliefs shift to possibility, then intuitive messages start to flood in even greater numbers.
Yeah, once you make that turn and then things start to happen, I guess it just opens up and spirit starts delivering more stuff, right?
Yeah.
More good stuff, yeah.
More opportunities, for sure.
Yeah, Mae McCarthy is with us. The Gratitude Formula is the name of her book. I like where you said, you know, this is just kind of a system, and we all learned a system when we learned to read, or write, or type, or ride a bike. It's cool. I like the way you said that. Or drive a car, right? We all just learned a system.
Right, and two things that you did to be able to now drive home from work, let's say, and not remember large parts of your drive home, because you've mastered that skill. You've mastered that proficiency. But when you started to learn to drive or ride a bike or type or read, you put in concerted amount of repetitive effort, and you found other people that had been successful in riding a bike or driving a car or typing, so you knew it was possible. And that's what you need to do for any goal that you have. You have to use repetition in a daily practice to describe your good, to describe that completed goal with gratitude every single day.
Stay at it. Yeah, stay
in the morning.
Yeah.
And you need to read stories and meet other people that have accomplished the same kind of success that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, your brain will believe that it's possible and will take those spiritual and intuitive messages off mute. You see, your brain remembers every single time you had a goal that you didn't achieve and how disappointed you were. And your brain loves you and it wants to protect you. So when you have a goal that's bigger than anything that you've achieved before or different than anything you've achieved before, your brain, in an effort to try and protect you, puts those intuitive messages on mute so you'll stay where you know how to cope. So in order to shift that belief and convince your brain that it's okay to let those intuitive messages through, you have to shift your possibility. You have to shift beliefs. And the way you do that is by reading stories about and meeting other people that have achieved the same kind of success that you want. Your brain will start to believe, wow, if they could do it, I could do it.
Meg McCarthy is with us, and my name is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. If you care to join us, please do. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. A few days ago, we talked with Andreas Wecker, and we have a bunch of his oils in the store, and I think you're going to really like these. I ordered some hemp oil and also some of the CBD oil, and I have some of the coriander. And the good thing about these oils, they're in Myron glass. So they're, and since they have incredibly low oxidation, probably the lowest oxidative oils on the planet, the way he presses them with the no friction. And he doesn't really grind up the seeds, which causes friction. You can listen to the interview and see how he, and hear how he does it. They have a great shelf life. I mean, this coriander oil I have is probably a year old. When I first started using Andreas seed oils, and it just smells and fresh and tastes as the day I got it. It's just really, really a neat thing. So most oils are just very dangerous to take. We know that because of the way they're processed, and they have clear bottles, and they get oxidation, and cold press oil, that doesn't mean anything. Expeller press, no, that doesn't mean anything. These are just made up names. But so these are some oils that you could explore and use for healing. And you can take a spoonful every day of whatever you want. And it's going to be you're going to be happier for it. They have coriander seed oil. It's very antifungal. It also helps to get rid of heavy metals because it is cilantro. And cilantro is one of the number one little guys to help detox heavy metals out of the body. And can you imagine how many little coriander seeds are in a teaspoon of coriander oil? Black cumin seed oil, Google that puppy, and whoa. I mean, it's been shown in studies to croak little things like herpes virus, CMV, H. pylori. It helps to protect the mucus lining to rebuild in the stomach. I'm taking some of this now, the black cumin, flaxseed oil, black sesame seed oil, pumpkin seed oil. If the doc is, and you have maybe something going on with Mr. Prostate, a little bit not as strong as you would like, or maybe, you know, they all kind of get a little bit larger. Well, I shouldn't say they all. Most, you know, sometimes. Sometimes is a good word. I'm not going to put any kind of weird woo-joo on your prostate. It's fine. But anyway, sometimes it gets a little larger than in the PSA test. You can do the pumpkin seed, and that's an incredible thing for the prostate. Sunflower oil, you can put the essential oils in the sunflower oil that we talked about last week, and have your own little face blend, and then the five seed blend. So these are really remarkable oils, pressed like another, I mean, no other on the planet the way he's doing it. Andreas Wecker, Andreas Seed Oils, and they're all in our store, and that's on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Brandon Amalani of Shen Blossom, talking about our very special ginseng.
And you don't want something that's been corrupted coming into your body. Like the ginseng is a super important example of that. You know, when you're using aggressive alcohols and solvents, it has a strange effect with ginseng, in the sense that when you're not only over processing it, but putting it in really aggressive alcohols, what's going to happen is that you're going to flip the chemistry on some of the androgenic. Naturally, it's androgenic. It's going to basically protect the telomeres and add life to the body and protect the genetic replication of the cells. But it's also going to boost the androgens and boost the male hormones in the body. But if you incubate it in really aggressive alcohol, it flips those to become estrogenic. Now, estrogens, phytoestrogens, are not necessarily bad in balance, but you really don't want that with your ginseng, especially if you're getting like a really high quality, a really old root, something that's very special. You want to like treat it with care and make sure it's delivering what ginseng has to offer.
Just a short clip from Brandon talking about the way they do the ginseng, just to give you a better idea of where this company is coming from, the quality and the ethics. Brandon and the Shen Blossom link on OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you get in the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, I got a voicemail the other day. Some lady said I was doing some tests, and I found out that I didn't have any Bifido, and she's... No, no, she didn't do that, but she was really... No, don't be upset. You can just... No problem. Don't scream. You can get them back. You know, you just take some of these good guys and get them back. I put some in Doodle's water this morning. They have a pet probiotic, and I also put some of the Perfect Molecule in her water. Put a couple of shots in my mouth this morning. The Perfect Molecule is the C60 for Living Streams, and you'll find all these in our store as well. Okay, it's about 23 after the hour, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick Timpone, it's good to be here with you, and we have a great show again for you tomorrow with talking about moods and the brain and stuff like that, and somebody else tomorrow too. Let's see. Oh yeah, chiropractic kinesiologist tomorrow with Mae McCarthy. Mae, there's one of the sayings we used to have when I had several companies over the years was a good friend of mine taught me. He was a great business guy. This fellow would just look at money, and it would multiply like rabbits, right? He would just look at money, this fellow I know. And I went to his house one day, and he had virtually every business book that's ever been printed in the world on his bookshelf, just a wall of them. And I said to him, I said, Harold, you know all this stuff. I mean, you're just so successful. You've got 12 businesses. What do you keep buying these books for? He said, well, every now and then you just get one little idea that helps you. You know, I was really impressed with that. That's great.
Well, that also ends up being similar to what we were discussing earlier. As he reads about other people's success,
yeah,
in different techniques and achieving great wealth and success in business, he starts to recognize, wow, all these people can do it, I can do it. And so his mental equivalence about achieving success in business is very, very high. He knows that if he decides to start a new business, he knows not only practical information, because he's done it so many times, he goes through the same process probably to create his business plan and
sure,
to
sure.
investigate the potential markets and things like that. But he also has a mental equivalence that he will be successful. And that's what we do for all of our goals. And all of us should have goals in every area of our life. We should have goals not only for our finances and our use of skills and talents in our work, but also goals for harmonious relationships with our family and friends and coworkers and community, perfect health where every cell is operating in exactly the way that it was designed, in a pain-free, healthy body, recreation, and also our spiritual connection.
He used to say, he taught me that what gets measured gets done. And I've always remembered that. That's really true in business, isn't it?
Right, and so what you're doing is establishing a goal that later gets measured against performance.
Uh-huh.
And we do that as part of a success system in business, for sure.
What gets measured
we
gets done.
We establish quotas, we establish metrics for customer service appreciation, for injuries on the job, for everything that pertains to our business, and we measure our success against those future goals.
And I guess it's important, mate, because it really is, as we know around here, we talk about this a lot, not too woo-woo, that what we think and what we believe and what we manifest in our life is the same thing. So when we're putting out a goal and then we measure it and then we do other things, I mean, we're just kind of crafting our life in a system of, being aware of how we're doing it, just believing we can do it.
Right. You know, it's really fun. In my workshops that I teach, I end up asking people at one section of the workshop how many people believe that their words are powerful, and just about everybody's hand goes up. And then I ask, and how many of you believe that you're living the life that your words created? Not as many hands go up.
Would you say living the life that your words created?
Yes, that your words, thoughts,
and
emotions.
Not that many people raise their hand then?
No, and then we go through a series of stories about how many of us have gotten so conditioned to idly use our words that we don't recognize that they've created something. And how many times do you hear people say, I don't want my Uncle Bob to be a pain at the family reunion, or I don't want to be late for my appointments and make a bad impression, or I don't want this, or I don't want that. And the thing about your subconscious is it doesn't understand don't want. So all it does is make a mental picture of Uncle Bob being a pain, or you being late for your appointments and making a bad impression, or you being in debt. So when it makes that mental picture, that's what you're going to see more evidence of showing up in your life.
Yeah, that it'll pop up too, and then people then fear it, and then it just forms this loop, right? And that's how we create negative things.
Right. So figure out, you know, take a look really carefully at what words you're using and then see if you can shift them. So instead of saying, I don't want to be in debt, describe what your life would be like if you weren't in debt. Well, I'm so grateful that I'm financially free with X number of dollars per year to easily afford all of my living, giving, and entertainment expenses. And then what'll happen is you'll start to see possible steps that you can take along a intuitive path that will guide you to achieving that.
But you're talking about actionable steps, because it's the idea, May, that when we pray, move our feet. I mean, we have to do the stuff. We have to do the work.
You absolutely have to. And if you get an intuitive lead to contact someone or to go, sometimes they come as strong thoughts, that instincts, sometimes messages through other people or signs. If you get one, take the step. But if you feel unsure, you're not sure that's a lead from spirit, you're not, you know, you feel a little uncomfortable, don't do nothing. Just ask for another lead. Say, hey, spirit, hey, source of intuition, if that message is from you, if that strong thought came from you, give me another more obvious lead. And if that's something you're supposed to do, you will get a confirming lead. But most of us, because we live in a society of data, 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 if we don't understand something, if our rational mind doesn't understand it, it tends to try and talk us out of doing anything, and so we're stuck doing nothing.
Yeah. How do you talk to people about discerning between the mind, you know, mind brain thing? Let's just call it mind. The mind just repeating old, shooting up old dead images that we don't even care about anymore, or real intuition. That's a skill that you can learn to discern the difference.
It is, and just like anything, I mean, you weren't perfect riding a bike the first day either. But what happens is you will get a strong thought about contacting someone. I knew this woman. She was in her mid-50s, and she wanted to have a sound retirement plan. And she kept getting this strong thought of a woman that she hadn't talked to in about 15 years. And because she wasn't sure how they left the relationship, like maybe she did something that, you know, she was scared about calling this woman or tracking her down. So she kept asking for another lead. Well, she got about 50 of them, and she kept asking for another lead. Remember, she's not allowed to do nothing. So finally, after about the 50th time she thought of this woman, she just gave up and said, okay, fine, I'll track her down. They had a nice conversation, and in the course of the conversation, the woman asked my friend, you know, why'd you call me? And she said, well, I'm in this new prosperity program where I'm supposed to pay attention to intuitive leads, and you kept coming to mind. And so she was asked, what's one of your goals? She explained that she wanted a sound retirement plan, and this woman said that she had just put together a group of women whose backgrounds were from finance and invited my friend to come along to one of the group meetings once a month. And they drank wine and made new friends. And by the end of about 3 months, these women, who were very skilled in finance, gave her advice, free advice, to put together a sound retirement plan using the income that she had from her job. And she made a whole bunch of new friends and a new mental equivalent about what success is. So she's now learning some new things and hoping that some of her new skills will take her to a higher paying job, and she'll be able to increase her retirement plan contributions in the future.
That's great.
All of that came from a strong thought about someone she hadn't talked to in about 15 years.
Yeah.
So how it works.
So I suppose that our listeners this morning, who maybe are just single, maybe they're just have their own little business or one or two employees, can obviously incorporate this. But even if they don't have a business, I'm sure we could just incorporate all these ideas in just our life, right? Whatever we want to get, you know, be more abundant and have a cooler, more fun relationship than we have today, or whatever.
Absolutely. This is, you know, my definition. My first book is called The Path to Wealth. And then the second book is sort of an advance on that, which is called The Gratitude Formula. But within both of my books, I've got dozens and dozens of real-life stories for people to achieve their goals in every area of their life. Wealth, to me, does not mean just finances. To live a wealthy life, you are whole and complete, lacking nothing in every area of your life. And that would be your finances, your use of skills and talents, your relationships, your recreation, your health, and your spiritual connection. So there are lots and lots of stories about people achieving all sorts of different kinds of goals. Success is a system, not a secret reserved for only a few. And you can use this wonderful technique, this system, to create goals and achieve them in any area of your life.
When you work with companies, it's almost like you create a state of consciousness, help them create a state of consciousness for the company that is very powerful, because you have a lot of people that are buying into this vision and this feeling and this success.
Right, and one thing to keep in mind, I mean, as a business person who has run several companies, what I know is that when you set goals for the company and articulate them successfully to your teams and measure yourself against them, you have a chance of achieving them in a much greater and more innovative way. So what I would ask my employees to do is make sure that they're always thinking about the successful outcome in every situation, not just sales revenues, But for instance, we had one pretty major problem in a new startup that we had. We had a first customer that agreed to take us on, and we had a problem. The giant automated equipment was not going to meet the delivery deadline that the customer had told us that we needed to meet. Consequently, they could cancel the order. And we kept thanking, being grateful that we were going to be innovative, that we were going to be creative to come up with a solution so that the customer was happy. Yeah. And as a result of that, we got these innovative ideas that were not historically common in our industry. And we took advantage of these ideas and created something that the customer agreed would be a wonderful bridge to allowing us to install our product without the automated equipment. And in fact, because we successfully did that, we were able to serve the customer's additional locations that were too small to receive automated equipment. But they could now receive this new idea that we created that could be suitable for those small locations. So we served the customer in an even greater way as a result of being grateful for a successful outcome when a problem presented itself.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody can do this.
Yeah, so instead of, as we're kind of conditioned to do as planet Earth humans, to get all anxious and all, what are we going to do, and upset because this problem happened, you immediately were open to the idea, well, we're going to find a creative way out of this thing. It's going to be okay. Let's see what we can do, blah, 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 and approach it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, so
that's something that's simple, and it opened up. It's a great story.
Yeah, instead of focusing on the problem, which is, oh, my God, the customer's going to cancel our order, vendor is late, you start saying things like, I'm so grateful that we now are coming up with an innovative solution to help the customer meet their deadline. They're going to be so delighted, and we are also going to be proud of our accomplishment of figuring out a solution. So we were calming ourselves down and not panicking so that these innovative and intuitive ideas could come through. When you're in the middle of panic, that emotion is so strong that that still small voice, that creative idea, can't get through. You have to calm yourself down, and one of the ways that you can do that is by using gratitude statements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you come into companies that have some people that are having a hard time getting their heads around this and are, will say, yeah, but, you know, that kind of yeah, buts we call them, yeah, but, how do you work with them to help them not kind of be a fly in the ointment kind of thing?
Well, first of all, I listen very, very carefully to what their yeah, but is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can determine whether that's a personal belief in limitation or something, you know, that's a technical issue, you know, a limitation of the product or service that is being offered. And from that, we talk a little bit about some of the successes that they've been involved with in terms of helping the company achieve its goals. And as we revisit the fact that it's possible to be successful, we get them into that emotional feeling of, oh, yeah.
I can do that.
We've had success before.
Yeah.
And as we've had success before, and we've been innovative before, and we've been creative before, and we've served our customers successfully before, it's possible to do that again. In innovative and creative. All I want to do is get them to the point where they believe that it's just possible. They don't know how to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the innovative and creative and intuitive ideas come in. But they know, we want to remind them, help them get back to the place where they know it's possible.
Yeah.
And that's the state that you need to be in to allow those intuitive messages to come through. So we get them back to recognizing, you know what, you've achieved great things before, you can do it again.
One of my mantras has been over the years from one of my teachers is, there's always a way, always. And it's
always,
and no matter what, even when it seems like just always a way, and just stay there rather than, yeah, it's so cool that we are that powerful souls on this planet.
Yeah, and most of this creative intelligence and this divine design requires us to be involved in manifesting. So that creative design of something has to work through its creation, has to work through nature, it has to work through us, it has to work through something to manifest it. And so by recognizing that each person, each soul is absolutely integral to being able to manifest this divine design and creativity, then you start to feel like, wow, of course I'm supposed to be used. Of course I'm supposed to receive intuitions and act on them. Of course I'm integral to creating this wonderful world. I'm part of it. I'm necessary.
Yeah. What you've just said, Mae McCarthy, is, in my opinion, a divine, a real spiritual truth that spirit needs us to work through to manifest in physical reality. I'm real curious how you came upon that.
You know, I was raised as the last of 10 children.
Wow. No kidding.
As a devout Catholic. My parents were devout Catholics, and so we were raised Catholic.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but maybe it was just sitting out on the beach looking at this incredible beauty of this island, and I thought, there's something that created this that's bigger than the God that is talked about in the religion I practice with my family. Mm-hmm. There's something bigger. And then when I was 18 years old, my mother gave me my first metaphysical book and sent me off to college with it, and it was a book published in 1925 by a woman named Florence Scovel Shinn, and the book is called The Game of Life, and play it. And I thought I had a secret formula. I mean, it's a teeny tiny little book, and it talks about how powerful each and every one of us are, and the key to unleashing that power is using our words, thoughts, and emotions, and recognizing that our universe is vast and filled with infinite possibilities, and that it requires us to do something to manifest those infinite possibilities into reality. And so that book at 18 years old really, really was something that shifted my beliefs. But also, my mother took me to a seminar when I was 10. And the seminar organizer said that I was too young to be there. And she said, no, you really need to let this 10-year-old come in. And it was a group called Jose Silva's Mind Control.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And what they showed was that there was a state that we could get in where we recognized that we were connected to everything.
Yes.
And through that, and the exercises that they gave us, I had this realization that one of the exercises was to identify what physical ailment somebody had. And I never, ever met this person. My partner would give me that it was a male, and he was, you know, 70 years old, living in Kansas City. That's all the information I got. Mm-hmm. And I could go down into a very quiet meditative state at 10 years old and see what was wrong with him. Now, what I saw was, oh, there's a whole big red and black blotch right here on his, you know, left side of his body. I couldn't diagnose it. I'm 10. I don't have the vocabulary or knowledge to diagnose anything. But I knew something was wrong right there on the left side of his body. And sure enough, you know, I was able to see that. So that was a really interesting...
Wow, at 10 years old, yeah.
Connected.
So it's for sure, I mean... It's for sure that we come into this incarnation with things to do like you have and that we're all doing. I mean, these things are not accidents that you're doing what you're doing today and you're playing around this stuff at 10 years old.
Yeah, I know.
No, you just can't make it up, you know. It's like, okay.
Well, my father was a surgeon. And when he exercise. Hmm. He was able to diagnose someone that he had not examined in person.
Wow.
He was overwhelmed, and it went against everything that he had learned. And he was an adult with 10 children, and so he left. He left the seminar because his rational mind told him this should not be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real interesting point. Here we are as adults, and we've created a number of beliefs and behaviors throughout our entire life that are very, very strong. And science has shown that those strong beliefs and behaviors are tied to neural pathways in our brain.
Of course.
And the ones that are very, very strong are like these deep grooves, these very strong and thick grooves in our mind. And the good news about that is that through repetition and learning stories about other people achieving the same kind of success that you want, that's what I call making what you want familiar and welcome. Through repetition of a daily practice and using your gratitude statements and making what you want familiar and welcome, you can strengthen a different neural pathway that's associated with the new belief in possibility.
Sure, yeah, just rewire. And it sounds, you know, folks, it sounds real spacey that you can't do it and difficult, but trust Mae when she's telling you that you can. You just do it, you know. You know, it's kind of like people say, I don't know, I'd like to learn how to really talk to my dog like you do, and do I need to go to a pet communicator? And those things are great, and you can, but no, really, all you got to do is talk to them, you know. It's just,
right.
And I talk to my subconscious, you know, if something's coming up, I'll say, well, you know, I'm just going to get rid of that because that's not what I believe, and I'm just going to replace it with this. And it's no more difficult than that.
Right, and a lot of people, one of the compliments I get a lot from people that read my books or attend workshops or talks that I do is that I've taken these theoretical ideas,
yeah,
and show people how to put it into a very efficient, short time frame.
Yeah, give them some exercises.
30 yeah. minutes every single morning, something, step by step. And what I find is that when you do something, the understanding and the feelings will follow. But if you have something to do every day, like we might not have understood everything about the physics of riding a bike, but we knew from what people told us to do this every single day.
Yeah.
As part of our practice, and then we watched other people and our friends and family ride bikes, and we knew it was possible. We made it welcome and familiar in our life. This is the same kind of process. We're shifting beliefs, and we have a step-by-step process for 25 to 30 minutes every single morning, and to make what we want familiar and welcome by reading other people's stories and meeting other people that have achieved the kind of success that we want. That will be the system for success that anyone can use to achieve their goals.
So in a way, you're accepting in the here and now, accepting the gift that we want as real and accepting it, like you say, familiar and welcome right now.
Yeah.
Accepting it. You accept the gift. I mean, you have to accept the gift before it's given.
Right.
Cool.
You have to believe that it's possible.
Yeah.
What I love is, I mean, I have absolutely no, I had no experience as an author. I had no experience as a professional speaker except to tell customers about what we were selling,
mm-hmm.
you know, software and equipment, that sort of thing. So I'm a good salesperson. But I had no experience standing up in front of, you know, 5,000 people and giving a speech, a motivational speech. So what I had to do is I had to, first of all, be grateful that I was already doing it, even before I was doing it. And I had to go meet authors. I had to go meet professional speakers. I had to follow intuitive direction to get some practical training. I took steps that my intuitive and spiritual advisor, you know, this divine intelligence in the universe, all of those intuitive directions that I got, I took steps to follow those and consequently ended up being a best-selling author and a highly sought-after speaker. And other channels are opening up to be able to share this message and help elevate prosperity and freedom for more and more people. But that was not my training originally, and I didn't think it was possible when I first had the idea. I had to do the same thing that I'm asking people to do to achieve my goals.
Good for you. Stay there. Great stuff. Mae McCarthy, her website, maemccarthy.com, and the book is called The Gratitude Formula. Yeah, she's on it. This would be a nice thing for you to check out. It's somehow I got another website up. Well, I'll get that, but maemccarthy.com works for you. Patrick Timpone, oneradionetwork.com. Patrick Timpone, oneradionetwork.com is my email address. And if you'd like to be on the show, we're going to have a couple good shows tomorrow as well. And then, and also tomorrow we're going to do a special, three shows actually we're going to have tomorrow. Over the weekend, I saw this last night when I returned home from out of town, that there was a big win for Monsanto, for the people over the glyphosate Roundup thing. I don't know if you saw it. It was about $300 million that they awarded to this fellow, this man who was, he got cancer from putting Roundup on the in his work, and he filed a lawsuit, and they won this guy $289 million, San Francisco, and that was, I think it came back, yeah, on the 10th. Wow. Boy, that's really a big one. And so we are going to, this is the first one, and we're going to talk with Kerry Gillum, who's probably one of the most well-researched investigative journalists on this subject. And we had her on the show, I think, 4 or 5 months ago. We're going to talk about this case and what this possibly means for the big one, another huge one that she's been following. I think it's also in San Francisco. It's a class action, and this is going to go a long way to have all of our vision to get this glyphosate, GMO, and Roundup stuff just out of the system. It's very dangerous and huge. Huge win for this this man. He alleged that he was exposed to Roundup. He sprayed while working as a groundskeeper for a United School District, causing him to develop non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The jury agreed with him that they proved their case. And there's now about 4,000 people around the country in federal courts on allegations linking Roundup to cancer. So the genie's out of the bottle on this baby. The camel's nose is under the tent. And so this is very, very good news. And we'll talk to Kerry Gillum tomorrow about it as our third show. We'll have three shows tomorrow. Previously with cancer specialist Dr. Francisco Contreras on rebounding.
There's a study that was done in America with women that exercise 4 hours a week strenuously. And those that had 66 less incidence of cancer of the breast than the women that didn't do exercise. That's how impactful exercise can be.
We've been a big fan of rebounding, these little trampolines, for years.
Rebounding is one of the best, because not only is it not as aerobic as many other exercises, but it is, but it also moves the lymph from within your body. And remember that lymph is the one that's bringing out all of the toxins. And if you don't get it up to your heart and then out through the urine, the toxins stay there. So rebounding is an excellent, excellent form of exercise that just about anybody can do. I mean, we have some 85-year-old people that rebound. It's very easy, even for elderly people, to get on the rebounder and just go up and down.
It certainly is, even you. Regardless of how many revolutions you've clocked around the sun, I've been jumping on this rebounder since I think 93, what's that, 25 years or so? And it takes a long time to get young, you know what I'm saying? These are great. We have them on sale, and the regular price is $339 for the half fold. We'll sell you that one for $299. You email me if you'd like to get it, or if you'd like to get the ultimate rebounder, which is a really a better built rebounder, just stronger, sturdier. And you can see the picture if you go to Rebound Air. It's called the Ultimate Quarter Fold, and we sell that generally for $369, something like that, but now we have it for $339. Either way, if you want one on sale, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll work it out. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I filled about two glasses, 16-ounce glasses, of this Aloe One and put it in a little ice chest thing and carry that with me on my little trip to Houston over the weekend, and had a little fridge in the hotel room. I always get a little fridge and put it in there, and it's a great thing to drink a lot, and I drink it a lot. And if you'd like to try some really fresh aloe, where they just take the pulp out, and you can get it fresh frozen delivered to you, 2 half-gallon containers in the minimum order. You also get some face cream with that. It's just an amazing product for your stomach, small intestine, large intestine, all the way down. It just makes things cooler and smoother. It's been a great adjunct and tool for me, healing the little thing that I created in my tummy. So really beautiful. Stockton Aloe One. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate having that around. I think I've gone through 20 half gallons. I think we have a few more days, and then we're done on the little sale at Sir Thrival. And you can click on any Sir Thrival link. I think the link, we have a Pine Pollen link and also a D3K2 link. Those, the D3K2, the Yopan Tea, and the Digestive Bitters, which I've received. And boy, I really like these. These are powerful. These are worth getting from Sir Thrival. Digestive Bitters. So you have 4 products, Yopan Tea, Digestive Bitters, the Taboo, and the D3K2 on sale, I think, for another 2 days. So any Sir Thrival link, this would be a good thing for you to play around with and get some of these products on sale. And you don't need a promo code. Just click an order on OneRadioNetwork.com. If you haven't tried our sulfur, we have pure organic sulfur that is the cleanest one out there that I know. There's a couple more out there. They're about the same price. I think there's only one that's as good as ours out there, even in the whole world. So shop with ours because you know us. And you can get sulfur by going on One Radio Network and ordering 2 pounds. And we have 3 prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. And also, if you'd like more than 4 pounds, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll work out a discount for you. You'll bring more oxygen everywhere in your body. It helps to detoxify your body. It helps to, it really has a love affair with heavy metals. Sulfur, very, very low in the soils now because of all the GMO stuff we're talking about. And the glyphosates screws up the sulfur cycle. Maybe this is why people really, really like it. People just enjoy it. They remember more of their dreams, which is really important. I don't know why that works like that. It just must oxygenate the brain a little bit. So when you come back from your dream experience, your little brain and mind thing will help you to remember it. Probably just more oxygen. Not sure exactly, but it's definitely the case. Okay, we're running a little bit long here, but we'll stick around for a few more minutes if you have a few more minutes. Oh, May? Oh, what happened to her? Oh, she hung up. We weren't done. She thought we were done. Okay. Well, that's strange. Oh, I guess because the original thing we said we're going to do 9 to 10 o'clock. I guess there's some radio stations and interviewers that just do it like that. Don't even say goodbye. Don't even say thanks. Just click the person off. We don't do that around here, but she just hung up because I guess she thought we were done. Anyway, I wanted to speak a little bit more on this. She's good. She's got some great ideas. Just trust me when I tell you that what she's talking about, I would use a different kind of words that she uses, but it's all the same thing. And it's really very, very powerful to really kind of be aware of the words that we are using. I spoke with a lady not too long ago. I don't know how. Oh, I think I just picked up the 800 number, which I don't often do. But somehow I had this intuitive, if I picked up the number every time it rang when I'm off the air, I wouldn't be able to do anything else. But I did pick it up. Evidently, I just needed to talk to her. So she was pretty upset, and she was really just having a hard time with all kinds of things going on in her body. And she said because she has Lyme disease. And, you know, I just listened and listened and listened, and then I kind of figured out after a while that she really wasn't going to stop talking and just tell me about all the things that were wrong with her, which, you know, after a while, it's just not very productive. So I just asked her to kind of, how can I help and what can I do? And she says, well, what kind of ideas do you have? And so, okay. So I started to tell her about some people we've talked to and that have really conjectured to this idea of just having one specific viral thing like a Lyme or a bacteria, focus in on that and just jump on it and try to do all these things to kill it is really not the best approach, in my opinion, and what I've learned over the years, that it could be just a fool's errand. And I tried to help her to start thinking about the ideas that your body can heal, and we can talk about some things you can do on the immune system, but you just kind of let go of the idea that you have some terrible thing inside you, because this thing has never been diagnosed, just like AIDS. You know, I think it's all, I don't think there's such a thing. I don't think it exists. I start talking to her about it, and I tell you, it's like I told her that there was no God, and God love her, she just went on and on and just couldn't stop convincing me that she had Lyme disease, you know. So, you know, this is a perfect example. God love this gal, this lady, and, you know, I hope she finds a way. But with this health stuff, it's so important to have the courage and the faith and the wherewithal to not go to the dark side and to be able, even if you're on the internet and you hear shows and you know that you have this, because you've read it, and they'll give you all these different symptoms. If you do this and this and this and this and this, well, then you have this. You know, and I would caution against that. Just know, sweet people, that the body is always trying to make balance. They're always trying to get you back into balance. Always, 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 always. And while it's good to say, well, if I have this kind of thing, or cancer, you know, I've been diagnosed, that I know that I can try this and that, and that's terrific. But it's really important to be careful about your attitude about it, and our attitudes about how strongly we feel about it, and that if we keep making it a big thing, it becomes a bigger thing just by simply our imagination and our thought process. And I know it seems like, how can that be? But this is really how we do create our own reality. Just like Mae was talking about, by what we think and what we feel and what we believe and what we imagine to be true. And it's hard, I know, if you walk out of the doctor's office and say, well, dude, you have stage 4 cancer, and I can only imagine how people would feel. But we know now that this is just, it's just a fast pitch in the dirt with all of these different things, that as difficult it is to let go of it, and we've all been through it, is then you go right to just changing the way you approach it. Well, I know I'm feeling this in my knee, and I don't want to get an operation, but I know it's going to be able to heal, and, you know, start like that. And, you know, and then, as Mae was saying, you know, if you can find other people's stories, how they heal this knee without getting an operation, whatever the situation is, and to continue to stay with that day after day and do things to help the knee. But the important thing is to believe that the body will heal and know that there's a way that you don't have to go in and get a new knee, possibly. I mean, you may have new knee karma and it ends up like that, but at least you'll go in with grace and charm rather than going, you know, with fear. Say, oh man, I got to get this done because the doctor said if I don't do it, I won't be able to walk in the next 2 weeks or so. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's hard, but don't let people scare you into doing something, because we are, you know, spirit, divine spirit that's working through us all the time, this is what it does for a living. And this is, it wants to expand our life into a better situation than it is today. It wants to. And as May very, very correctly said, and she didn't use the same terms, but she was right on. And I brought that up during this show, that spirit needs us, as she said. Spirit needs us to manifest anything. It just doesn't go out there and plop stuff up in physical reality. If that's the way it was, then God would just use divine spirit and plop up 40 million acres of food and feed the world. But it doesn't work like that. If it did work like that, God would just do it. I mean, why wouldn't God want people to eat? It doesn't work like that. It's all a balance. It's all going through planet Earth. It's all a karmic thing. And it's all going through us. So the healing that you would like spirit to help you with will go through you. And the more you become aware of it, and the more you believe it, and the more you work with it and imagine it, even if this is all really strange to you, you know, think about it. How could this work? What could this spirit look like? What could it sound like? In our spiritual path, divine spirit is actually sound and light in physical reality. So we do spiritual exercises in Ekankar, how we actually hear the sound as soul and see the light. And you hear it. And then once you get hooked up to it and you hear it, it's like, you know, it's just no turning back, because you've actually heard it. And this has been alluded to in the biblical text, where I think it was John, wasn't it, Mark or John, on the trail and saw the light, and Moses and all that. And that's true. These stories are true. Actually experience spirit with light and sound. And that's why Ekankar is called the religion of the light and sound. But you don't have to go through Ekankar to do it. It's just a very smooth and easy and doable path for people, where you can learn spiritual exercises and learn to connect with divine spirit and go right to the source and, you know, cut out all the middle guys and just go right to it. And this teaching has been taught since the beginning of time on the planet. It wasn't always called Ekankar, but divine spirit has always been there. So there's always been spiritual teachers teaching about soul and spirit. And this is where all the religions stemmed from, this same idea. They all came out of the idea that we are soul. Divine spirit is how God manifests in physical reality. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way God set it up. So this spirit is running through everything, through broccoli and scorpions and beetles and cows and pigs and Doodle and Patrick and you and your cat and your dog. And this is what makes everything go. And the more we can allow it just to move through us, trust that it's helping us, and you know, using this intuition that our past guest was talking about, that's how it comes in, when we trust it. And I've had people ask me, well, how do you contact this divine spirit that everybody has access to, regardless of your religion, regardless, doesn't matter. And the simplest way that very few people teach, but this is how you contact it, is you simply believe that it is there, and you believe that it is part of God, just to believe it. And even if you're just kind of faking it till you make it at the beginning, believe it, just believe it, make it up. Say, I believe it, and do believe it, and play with it. And before you know, you'll start to feel some things and hear some things and get some ideas. And whoa, could this really be true? I have this divine spirit at my beck and call 24/7 to make my life better and healthier and to live my dreams. Could that be true? Well, it is. It is. But as our past guest was saying, this is an ongoing thing. The important thing is to keep thinking about it throughout your day. I have little index cards around my house to remind me, on the refrigerator, in front of here in the studio, on my computer, with different, different ideas. And I'll come up and I'll change them up. The important thing is to understand that it's just always Nowsville. And so whatever we are putting our attention And what we're thinking now, this is how we're creating everything that's going to happen, that we're going to create this afternoon. Nothing really happens to us. People always say, well, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. The proper way to say it really, well, I created this, I created that, and I created this. And so we do create our own reality, as we know. So start thinking, if you want, is sweeter thoughts, more happy thoughts, more healthy thoughts. I am getting better, even when you're in great pain. You know, the idea, it's tough, and I know, because I went through, the past 5-6 years, I did my colon thing and sciatica thing, and then the stomach thing, and I went through it to learn how this all works, and I went through some excruciating pain, and it's tough when you're going through that pain to stay positive and say, I know the body's healing, my body's getting better, and that's the way I did it, it'll just work through it all without any extraordinary means. You know, I had a lot of fun things to take, but that's not what the healing was. I mean, these, like the aloe, colostrum, and the different things that we did, I did, and yoga and body work and all that, that was certainly a big part of going through the healing, but it was only part of the part. For me, the real part was to get to the cause of it, so I wouldn't create it again and could help you all to not create it. So we create all this stuff. I know it's very challenging to be with the, you know, the little mind that'll want you to, you know, what about this? What about this? And but you can learn how to quiet that little guy down. And I just don't pay attention to the mind most of the time. And after a while, it just gives up, you know. And that's the way I do it. And if a thought comes through that's kind of strange, I might erase it and just replace it with something else. We call it erase and replace. I call it erase and replace. And then you're really getting down into the subconscious, and you just erase it. And it's no more difficult than that. We had a fellow on the show, 3-4 years ago? What was it? Be Set Free, Set Free Fast. That's a great little system. What was it? BeSetFreeFast.com, something like that. And he talked about the subconscious. And what you do is you just, if this negative thought keeps coming up, like, well, I'll never be successful, or I can't do that, and I'll never be able to make that much money. It's probably just down in there because it's been around for a while. You know, what I would do is I would just go in there and reprogram it. And all you have to do is just reprogram it. It's that simple. That's how powerful that we are working in the mind. And you can erase it. You can give it to God. You can throw it into a river. You can do whatever kind of spiritual exercise you want. Just take that thought and give it to, if your teacher is Jesus or Buddha or whoever, or a yogi, just give it to him or her. Here, take this for me because I'm over it, and just replace it with, I know I can be successful because I can be successful. Everybody else does. Why shouldn't I? I'll do it. I can be successful. Replace it with that, and then move on, and it might come up again, and then do it again. After a while, it just wears out its welcome, and it doesn't even come back anymore. It just doesn't come back. And even if it does come back, remember that you are a soul, that you are, you are more powerful than this, than the mind or the subconscious, because this is all just lower world stuff. You're more powerful than that. Mark writes in, I witnessed an accident yesterday. Oh, and my dog was hit by a car and killed. I'm getting flashbacks of the incident. I know there was nothing I could have done to prevent it, but I can't get it out of my head. I keep trying to focus on positive things. I just want to hear what you might have ideas on, change my thinking. Well, that I'm really sorry that happened, and it's pretty traumatic. And it's done. I would begin with thinking about your dog as being soul, so your dog is not dead. Your dog is not gone. Your dog has just gone on to another reality. Animals are soul too. I'm really sorry this happened to you. animals are sold to, and that might help to ease the pain a little bit. And when you say you can't get it out of your head, you know, that's the first thing. I would encourage you not to try to get it out, because the more you try to get it out, the more it will come back. It just makes it stronger. So the best you can do, I think now, a few things is just as that thought and feeling comes back, is just focus on the love that you had for the dog, and focus on something else, and give it to God, and just let it go, and don't try to get it out, because that can't hurt you. It's just a dead image now. It's already passed. The more you give it life with trying to stop it or cover it up or anything like that, the more it'll just be there. I mean, you can erase it with an eraser and give it to God. And but the more you kind of, you know, the more energy you give it, the more it'll just kind of be there. But again, it can't hurt you. And the less attention you give it, and focus more on God and love, then the better you're going to feel. You'll work through it. It's tragic when those kind of things happen, but so I'm really sorry to hear that. Gosh. Yeah. When these anxious thoughts come up, it can be tough, but it generally is a way to help us to learn how to not be affected by the thoughts, and that's what's probably going on to learn to this email. You're probably just this is just going to be a lesson for you to learn how to deal with these kind of things, and look to your dog as a way to help you do this. So thank him or her for doing this for you, and so use this as your spiritual exercise to be able to sit quietly and know that he or she is okay, and it's time just to move on and to let it go, you know. Just let it go the best you can, and you will. It will at time. It won't come back anymore. And if it does every now and then, you know, it's just try not to pay attention to it. Okay, kids, so we have a big show for you tomorrow. We have three different people. So I will see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Dr. Greenblatt and Dr. this kinesiologist, chiropractor. And then also we're going to talk about the Monsanto thing with Kerry Gillum, who's done a lot of research on that big lawsuit over the weekend, $293 million in favor of the plaintiff who sued Monsanto for using Roundup and causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Huge, just a big deal. So I love you guys very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and we'll have three shows for you.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.